In the early 21st century, magic reawakened on Earth, and alongside it, a new human race of orcs, elves, trolls, dwarves, and others. Humanity became meta-humanity. Technology proliferated and greatly advanced in the awakened world as global megacorporations seized ever more power, becoming de facto states with their own laws, courts, and armed forces. The corporations attempt to control all aspects of modern life. This has led to a vast and complex criminal underground which works for and against corporate interests. The independent career criminals who do what others can't or won't are called Shadowrunners. The year is 2102. Welcome to Fun City.
Previously on Fun City, Gabe is grievously wounded in an altercation with detection and enforcement mage Nek Varma, who is attempting to thwart the team meddling in the business of Loma Sarnaev, and by extension, a shadowy group known only as the Seven. Gabe is carted off to an Evo health center by Dockwagon, and injured themselves, the team takes some time in Connecticut to regroup and get a new car from Lash's dad, Tuck, who is definitely a car salesman. Viv learns from Loma's ledger that Jast Columnar is involved in Orichalcum R&D, as Loma made Jast a book named exactly that. The team's suspicion that Jast can lead them to the person who used a magical metal radioisotope to power a conspiracy to get Knight Errant the contract for city law enforcement seems all the more likely. They'll know for sure once they find that book, which they suspect is in Jast's underground facility. Lux learns from Balto there's a guard change in the afternoon, which reduces the patrol guarding the entrance to that facility from 6 to 2 for a short window. They want to get underground. That's their best bet. We join the team now, staked out in front of Jast, plotting their infiltration of the vast, well-guarded compound. The matte black roof of a massive bus-like SUV peaks mere inches above the brackish water of the Brooklyn archipelago. And in the small gap between the surface of the water and the top of the roof, a sliver of glass. And one by one, in a line, eyeballs looking out. The crew of the Mrs. Egg peering in the mid-afternoon sunlight, in the cold of the fall, at the rusted jewel of Sheepshead Bay. Jast Reclamation. No one is going in, no one is going out. In the sunlight, you can see the glint of the guards on the catwalks. There's maybe 7, 8 of them. And the wind blows lightly.
Lux turns to the rest of the crew. Lux is not dressed as himself. Lux right now is wearing Loma's shiny gray suit, and he is also made up to look like Loma himself. Lux doesn't expect to fool Jast himself. Jast almost certainly knows that Loma is dead, but perhaps he can catch one of the guards unaware. And he tells the crew, "All right, guys, just to recap, the guard change happens in 30 minutes. We need to get into Jast, and we need to get down there to the door where we just have to face 2 people instead of 6 in 30 minutes. TK, we've interacted with the security system before. I think you know this one. We've even opened and closed this gate before, hoping we could hack it. Let me know how we could help. But when we get inside, I don't know where any record of the transaction that Jast had selling the Orichalcum is, but we need it. It's the only way that we can prove who is responsible for this."
"I think I could figure out what it looks like." And she holds up her copy of Loma's book. "Same maker. It's going to look like this."
"Awesome.
So we have a problem, right?"
"Yes."
"Got to get in."
100%.
"You think they have security underwater?"
100%.
"You know, worth a shot. Either way, I mean, there's 2 ways in, above water or underwater. It just depends on which you guys prefer more."
"I think that underwater probably is easier, but no idea."
"I was thinking maybe we pull the This car doesn't have a name. I guess we'll deal with that later.
DK, let's just name the car. You keep bringing it up. I mean,
I've tried to
bring up what we're doing.
Listen, I've pitched so many names, okay? Barbara Streisand. I pitch Daisy Duke.
Y'all better tell me this is a joke.
I pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Girly boy.
Girly boy? We can't.
I fish.
It's just not cool.
Gone fishing. I fished.
I do want to. I mean, nobody knows. Gone nobody fishing. Knew the name of our car, but like it doesn't matter. Yeah. Also, Lux, you're right. There's time pressure. Okay. I think we wait.
Gone fishing was the best one I heard. Can we call it that for now?
Okay. Well, the car that is temporarily known as Gone Fishing. I think we take that. Closer and we okay. swim out. Are you okay. good with water, Lux? You are you good with water? I remember the last time we were here, things got hairy.
This is where the it's fine. It's fine. All right.
Okay, but I think we swim up.
Okay.
We wear all black. You have all black.
We're wearing black. Yes, and my makeup is waterproof.
Look, gray's close enough. That's fine, Lux. Yep. I understand that black is not your color.
Can be yes, but it depends on the maker.
And I think we just swim up and we knock them out. We go in, we do it hand to hand. We do it fast.
Okay. We know where they're stationed. Let's do it.
But hold on. Let me do a little matrix search here.
Please do.
See what the cyber defenses look like. See if they changed anything since I was here last. And that is 3 hits.
What do you want to spend those 3 hits on? Just seeing as many individual pieces of, like entryway equipment as you can.
Mm-hmm. Show me the network, baby.
With 3 hits, you can see that there is the main entry gate that's in front of you. You know it. You've been through it in both directions once before. This is the gate that Balto told Lux has been closed. There no longer is ship traffic going in or out of Jast. And that is true at the moment. It looks like it is just shut. But you can see it. All the electronics are still there. It looks like it's the same security level. It's the same brand, mountaintop gates. I think you would, maybe even get a little wistful about the last time that you interacted with this machinery. You can also see the surveillance equipment that is around both the interior and the exterior of the main entryway. There are a number of microphones, high-powered microphones, and cameras that are on either side of the gate, both inside and outside. They are all connected to the same network. I think that you would be able to tell that they're medium security. They're nice, but this isn't like government black site level surveillance or security. And I think that you might also see in the distance on the opposite side of Jast, there is an additional but much, much smaller gate that is still a mountaintop brand gate, still locked, it's still closed, but it's got a similar level security and it's not this like big main entryway door.
Viv senses to see if anything is going on magically on the surface of Jast.
So, Viv, I think when you sense, I'm not even going to make you roll for it, because I think that you see something that's very familiar. It looks roughly the same way that it has looked the last 2 times that you've given a sort of peer around the area. You can see a number of people, a number of guards. At the top level of Jast, you can count maybe like a dozen, just sort of like around in the scrap, patrolling in the guardhouse, on the catwalks. And then you see this huge magical presence, like 5 or 6 stories underground, underneath Jast, off and to what I think would be the east. So like from where you're looking, the left.
She shudders and says, "Oh, I remember this feeling."
Oh, yeah. Didn't you have a big reaction to this feeling last time?
Mm-hmm. Don't bring it up.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. It looks like there's a huge magical presence underground. But everyone up top seems to be human. Regular.
They're all metahumans. They're not necessarily human, but yeah, they're all...
Okay. All right. We go up to this gate. We cut a hole in it. TK, is there going to be any security that we need to hack to make sure that it doesn't alarm that we've cut a hole in the fence and things like that?
Yeah. No, okay. There's a lot of security.
Okay. Can you deal with any of it?
Probably. Okay, I would say might alert them if we did that. I think, you know, honestly, you know, there's guard towers, right? And there's ladders outside the guard towers on both sides, right? Because, you know, what if somebody falls in from the other side, right?
Why don't we just climb
up the fucking ladders?
I'm happy to try it, yes.
Hear me out. We'll have Loma try and buzz in while the rest of us sneak up the sides, neutralize the guards.
Okay.
And then maybe we disable the security system. Maybe we're just in. Who knows?
Okay. And then Loma will leave.
Yes. And by leave, I mean swim underwater, find a ladder, and meet us.
I don't know that we've established on the exterior of Jess that there are ladders. So I'm just gonna quickly roll for ladder. Hold on one second.
Please don't roll for ladder. Just give it to me.
You got a 18. That's a ladder.
Whoa. Well, no, but I mean, like, this logically makes sense, right?
It does. I'm just making sure that the universe agrees. There are ladders that go into the water at the far edges of the overall compound of Jast. They're not framing the two large gates that are the entry and exit way, but they're at the far edges, at the corners of this big sort of rectangular shape. And they are on this side, not guarded. And they lead to catwalks up that ring around Jast. And you can see there are basically like hatchway doors that you would have to open in order to enter into Jast onto the catwalk. You can see people walking those catwalks, but like, they're just guards. You know, you recognize them. They're wearing the normal sort of like gross leather guard uniform that Jast hands out to all of his people. They're not particularly engaged. They're just sort of doing a circuit.
Okay, TK. Willing to try it.
You feeling it, right? You guys, you feeling good? I mean,
yeah.
Lux,
yeah.
This relies on you becoming the weird man we killed.
That's fine. That's what I do. The only thing you need now is a way to conceal yourself. I know that Jas has a way to detect you and things like that. I have something that I think will help me appear as Loma, at least from afar. And Lux pulls out a vial that he has around his neck that is filled with Loma's blood.
Ooh.
This is what Lux took from Loma a few episodes ago. He has been feeding it his own blood. This is a HMHVV3 blood. This blood would naturally die, of course, if it wasn't being fed constantly by Lux. He's been feeding it his own blood to keep it alive. And so anybody detecting the presence of this virus and its magical influence would detect it on Lux's person.
Wow.
And he puts it back underneath his shirt.
Nick?
Yes.
Give yourself an edge.
Wow. That was cool.
That was cool. And then Lash pulls out from under her shirt.
Also blood.
It's also blood.
It's always like medallion that says girly boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gold letters to affix to the back of the car.
I think TK is going to look at him and be like, I didn't know that was something you... Okay. Yeah.
That reminds me also, it is a new day. And so, yep. TK, you need to pay the edge tax to maintain your health spell to stop you from turning into a vampire.
If I'm a vampire, it's probably fine.
All right, guys, we need to get down to the doorway where I described it is in 30 minutes. I will meet you there. Find a way to the main gate. Open the gate for the car. I will drive it in and meet you at the change of the guard. I will be Loma, and I will hope that Jast is busy.
If he's not, just tell him that you're here to check on the book. I don't know. That book is freaky. He makes scary books. They might need checking on.
I will say the book has been compromised.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. Where'd Lux go?
I don't like that. I don't like that.
This makes me so uncomfortable.
Temporary name is Gone Fishing. Take us there.
The vehicle, temporarily known as Gone Fishing, pulls up alongside, staying low, staying as under the shallow water as it possibly can, to the northeastern edge of Jast Reclamation, where there is an old, rusted escape ladder. It looks like something that's been dropped down from a fire escape and then rusted in position for the last decade or more. But it's there, and if you climb out the roof hatch, you can grab right onto it.
Biv whispers, Gustavo!
Hey, hello!
We need one more favor before you go.
A spectral jellyfish forms into existence, floating just very translucently, almost invisible, above the vehicle temporarily known as Gone Fishing.
We need you to conceal us.
Ask and you shall receive.
Gustavo floats to the ladder, and as Viv starts to climb out, she passes through him.
Oh my God.
She gains a glistening, sort of shadowy presence as she goes up the ladder. All right, everybody, follow me.
Gustav, may I?
Oh, you better.
Okay.
This feels amazing for me.
Thanks, Gustavo.
I should do this one for free. I'm kidding. I will not. Hurry up. Come on.
TK follows.
Oh, hell yes.
And as he fades away, you hear the Portuguese fado guitar playing again.
Gorgeous.
As Viv, Lash, and TK pass through Gustavo, holding onto the ladder on the side of Jast, they take on this sort of sheen, and then, like he was, they become nearly almost perfectly translucent.
Lux drives away from the ladder, still underwater, and takes a very wide berth in order to come up and just be driving on the water and approaching the gate as one who would be visiting naturally would. And he drives to the front gate.
The three of you infiltrating Jast go up the ladder. You see the car go over to in front of the gate and park itself and wait. You get to the top, and who's first? It's Viv, right?
Yeah, Viv is first.
There's basically a almost like a razor wire door, like a security door. It reminds you a little bit of Irina's old man box that was in her shop when you went there the first time. It's sort of like, you know, something that would be in a security, like a metal security system, metal security gate. It's locked, but it's also, when you get to it, you can tell that it's old and it is not weathering well in the salt air of the Brooklyn Archipelago.
Viv goes and reaches for the knob and just to try it.
It breaks off in your hand.
Wow, all my working out has worked out.
And it just slightly swings inward.
We're in. Whoa, Viv, nice one.
He comes to Lux and he just says, we're in.
Lash, is this the sort of feeling you get after you work out?
Yeah, it's called pump.
Wow, I'm pumped.
You're pumped. Nice job, Viv.
All right, let's go.
So if you were to, you're at the corner of Jast. If you were to go to your right, you would be heading to the guardhouse, which is over the main gate that Lux is waiting in front of. If you were to go straight, you would go towards the offices. And those are just before where the smelter is, the furnace, the thing that you have to get to. So you are sort of looking out into Jast in this corner, and you can go to guardhouse or the offices. There is one guard to your right, leaned up against the door of the guardhouse. He's a tall orc, older, so like late 20s, and he's wearing a Jast boiled armor. Looks like it's been acid scarred, like he's gotten sprayed with acid at one point, and part of his getup has melted or charred. In the direction of the office, you don't see anyone on the catwalk where you are, but you can see shadows on the other side of a window that has a blind closed over it. You can't really tell you know, how many people are there, but it seems like it's at least a couple. And you can hear distant voices over the sound of metal crunching and moving around and other sorts of, like, general activity that's happening underneath the structure of the furnace.
Lux comes back to TK. Okay, TK, I'm set up. Let me know if you need a distraction. I won't introduce myself as Loma until I confirm that you do need a distraction.
Okay, sounds good.
And Lux just waits for TK to get confirmation that they do need him to pretend to be Loma as a distraction.
TK checks his watch to see how long the team has until guards change over.
25 minutes.
Sounds good.
Hey, TK.
What?
If you think you can handle the guards here and getting the gate, why don't I go over to the office and see if there's anything I can mess with in there?
It's okay. Well, I like the verve. I like the spirit. There are many shadows in the office. There's one guard out here who has not noticed us, and we have 25 minutes to wait.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
But maybe you should. Well, I don't know. Do some weird tech stuff and see what's going on in that office.
I'll go with you.
Yeah. Let's see if we can delay this window a little bit longer.
What?
You know, give us a bigger window.
Okay.
In the 30 minutes, you probably have, a minute before the cards change over? Maybe I can give us more time.
Okay. You know what? Okay, let's... Yeah, you lead.
Sorry,
I'll follow
I'm
you.
Bad at whispering.
Hey, yeah, but for some reason, I think we're fine.
Lux comms TK. TK, I got a feeling that this is about the time when Lash would have an idea. Could you please tell me what that is?
She said something about extending the window.
Okay, yeah, we don't need to extend the window at all. We want that to happen as soon as possible. We're set up to pounce.
Okay.
We just want those other people to leave.
She's not taking no for an answer.
Okay, all right.
I'm on my way.
Well, we do need all everywhere checked for the source or the location of this book or any records showing that Loma and crew have been here. So that could be useful if you want to search the office for that.
Okay. The problem is there are people in there.
Okay.
So we might have to do some fighting. It might be loud.
There's people everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, Viv. Yes, Slash. Get close.
We are close. This is a catwalk.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. It's fun to do missions together. Okay, let's go right under that window.
Okay.
See if we can hear anything. And they creep over to the office window. And it happens to be cracked open a little bit. What a coincidence. Can they hear conversations?
Yes. Don't you dare. Don't you dare close that window.
What? It's Jared, it's freezing.
Listen to me. You smell so fucking bad.
What do you want? They haven't let us leave
in smell bad.
Weeks.
I can smell my own crotch just sitting here with my pants on. And I can smell you like a dog's breath coming at me across the room. The window stays open. I don't care about protocol. This whole thing's about to be over. And then we can close the window. But for the last 2 or 3 hours of this fucking nightmare of boredom and stink, let me breathe the fresh air. Fresh, I say, only compared to the odor that I think is coming out of your actual ass.
Viv is peeking through the window and she can she see one of them?
There's like a blind closed over it, so you'd have to like push it closed or like push it to it to see. But you can see that there is basically like a hand hovering right on the other side of it, reaching for the window to close it. It's like hovering in midair, paused as this conversation is happening. And as you get closer to see if you can see them, you are in fact hit with just an awful, awful stench. It smells like a locker room multiplied by several orders of magnitude. It's bad.
Viv shoots a hand out to cover Lash's mouth and
oh.
La- Listen. It's not my fault that someone fucked up the plumbing and no one has been able to take a shower in 2 weeks, but I'm fucking freezing.
If you close that window, it will be your fault. Please, this is the last day of it. We have made it this far. Please, let me just have a few moments of clean air.
Fine. I'm gonna go get my coat then from the guardhouse. And you hear a couple footsteps, and the door that leads out to the catwalk starts to jiggle. And ooh, you hear a voice on the other side go, "What the fuck, this fucking shit? All of these things are broken. Do you not, what's the trick to this one? I forget it now."
Pull on the doorknob, and you push on the top because it swells.
Let's keep moving.
Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
Let's keep moving.
No, yeah. Push on the top. Higher.
I am pushing.
Come this way. They smell so bad.
You smell so bad.
We gotta get out of here. Follow me.
The door swings open. You see a tall, skinny man with long, greasy blonde hair, like down below his armpits. And he is wearing runner shorts. And
Viv is holding her nose.
And his boiled armor vest, but no shirt.
We gotta get out of here. This is horrible.
And it's true. You are hit with just it's worse. It's even worse than it was through the window. And he doesn't see you because you are enveloped by the spell. You are still under Gustavo's spell. So he just starts walking, and he's walking directly towards you. And this is definitely a one-way traffic only catwalk situation.
We all know those.
Lash, in one movement, picks Viv up by her arm and kind of jumps on the other side of the outside of the catwalk and is one arming like pull up.
When you do this, the catwalk sort of swings slightly and buckles, and the guy goes, whoa. And he turns and he looks back into the room that he just left.
I swear to God, if you fall off that fucking catwalk and make me have to do paperwork with an hour left, I will fucking kill you myself. I will chop you up and feed you to that son of a bitch's dogs.
Viv sticks a leg out to trip him.
Yeah, sure. I'm just gonna, yeah, it's easy to stick a leg
out. Should I roll?
No. Like... Very easy for you to, like, you know, it's hard for me to imagine exactly what it looks like with Lash sort of like bear hugging you and holding onto the side with one arm, but like, there's something that you can do. It might not be a leg, it might be an arm.
Yeah.
But you can reach out and
I'd have to grab his foot, yeah.
Yeah, try to grab an ankle. You manage to grab him and he stumbles, but he doesn't fall off.
Aww.
The catwalk swings and vibrates a little bit more, and it makes a bunch of very dramatic like creaking noises. Like, this is old and unmaintained. But he doesn't fall down.
Mm.
And he certainly doesn't fall off. TK, what do you want to do?
Yeah, TK, while all of this has been happening, TK has been making his way the other direction toward the smelter. So what's that way?
The office where they were headed is the direction of the smelter. But if you want to try to get down, you would know that there is a stairway in the guardhouse because you've seen it before.
Great. Yeah, TK walks toward the guardhouse.
So yeah, there's you get closer and closer to the orc that's leaning up against the door going into the guardhouse, and you can see that he is leaning. He is asleep.
Excellent.
His head is sort of like lolling a little bit.
Endy has sleep apnea.
All orcs have sleep apnea.
Oh. Oh,
poor Lash.
Good lore. Is he standing next to a door?
His back is up against a door.
The door to the guardhouse.
Yeah.
Boy.
How tall is the building? I mean, how tall is the guardhouse building? Are we above the guardhouse?
If you were to keep walking straight, you would walk through a door and into it.
So it's one door and a half's height, I assume, then. The ceiling of this building.
Yeah.
I'm just asking because I was going to ask if it's possible to climb on the railing and jump from there up to the ceiling of the guardhouse, to the roof of the guardhouse.
You could absolutely do that, yes.
Okay. I think TK is going to do that.
Whee!
And then he's going to scooch his little chin over the edge and just drop a loogie right on this guy's head to try and wake him up.
Roll for it. I want the dice to decide how the spit goes.
Do you actually?
Yeah. I think so, because I want him to open the door. I want him to wake up and be like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't be sleeping. What the fuck?
Okay, sure.
And is there a skylight? Because if there's a skylight, then we don't have to do any of this.
No, there's no skylight.
Then we're doing it.
Yeah, great. I love rolling for spit.
Ew.
You do a little light parkour off of the railing and grab onto the ledge of the guardhouse and pull yourself up. The catwalk bounces up and down again while this fellow is leaning up against a door sleeping. The bouncing does not wake him up, but what does wake him up is the man walking towards him who just left the office, reacting again to the fact that the catwalk seems to like have a mind of its own these days. It bounces up and down when you jump off of it, and he goes, whoa, what the fuck is going on? This place is falling apart. Jast has got to, he has got to do something. This is not a safe work environment.
What is the problem now?
This thing is falling apart.
What is?
The catwalk. Were you asleep?
No.
What are you going to do once we're out?
Oh, God. I just want to eat a real sandwich that I make for myself and just hang out with my brother again. I miss my brother so much.
I don't ever want to hear from this guy again.
TK peers his head over the side to like...
And does nothing.
To spit and then sees all of this unfold.
Viv is watching this happen, kind of see the shimmer of TK, and she casts control actions on the blonde one.
Okay, roll it up.
Okay, she got 3 hits.
He got 2 hits.
Nice. Viv just is trying to exercise a light touch. She takes his right arm and swings it forward to slap the other guard.
He connects, and it's loud.
No!
Damn.
Viv is trying to exercise a light touch, and she just biffs this dude across the face. If his skin wasn't green, you would probably see a bright red hand mark on his face.
What the fuck, Devoto? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I have no idea what just happened. I have no idea what just happened. I just, something came over me. You were talking about your brother. I don't know. We've been stuck in here for so long. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting really scared and I'm so tired.
You gotta calm down. We've got like an hour left of this and then we get to go home.
Oh, I don't know what's happening.
She makes DeVoe slap himself.
Okay,
so the sleeping orc goes and grabs DeVoe's arms and holds him by his side.
You gotta keep it together, man. We cannot brew this if this later in the game.
Jared was just telling me how bad I smell, and I don't know what.
We all fucking stink, dude. Just one more hour. I just want to go home and eat a sandwich and talk to my brother. When I came in here, he was in the hospital, and now he's out, and I gotta see him. We've been here for a fucking month, DeVoe. You can't fucking, don't snap. Hold it together for
DeVoe
an hour.
DeVoe is struggling as if he's trying to slap himself, but Viv isn't doing this anymore.
Yes, Viv is not doing
it. Think about the money.
Viv and Lash get off from the side of the catwalk and head into the office.
Yeah.
You go in the office and there's a guy in a t-shirt and a vest, an armor vest, and he's just in boxers. And you can see that there are clothes like draped on like the backs of chairs and in this office, and they're covered in stains. They look like clothes that have been worked in and eaten in and have not been washed in a long time, and they're covered in disgusting stains. And it smells so bad in here.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah.
There are papers strewn about. There are a bunch of sort of overflowing filing cabinets. There are a bunch of old computer terminals that don't appear to be on. Lash, if you were to look, like, I don't think you would see them. Like, it looks like they've been turned off. And there's one additional door in this room, in the office, on the other side, directly across from you. And you can see through a window on it that it looks like there's a spiral staircase that goes downward from it.
Mm. Is there any a matrix activity coming from there?
No, just a door.
Sure.
Viv puts an arm on Lash to say she's got this.
Okay.
And Viv had kept the doorknob from the first door. And after they come inside, she presses herself up against the wall and then tosses the doorknob right at the threshold of this doorway of the office. It makes a clanging sound, yeah.
The guy whose voice you heard earlier is sitting in a shitty metal folding chair in the middle of the room. He's looking at, like, a comms device. He's looking at his phone. This guy is older. He's got, like, fully gray hair. He's an older human, kind of older than most of the people you see in these kinds of jobs. He's got, like, neck tattoos all the way up the side of his neck, but nothing on his face. It's very kind of pale. Very old and faded tattoos, looking at his phone. He hears the clank. DeVoe.
No answer.
He gets up and goes to inspect the threshold at the door. He finds the doorknob. He picks the doorknob up and he looks back at the door and sees that the doorknob on the door is still there.
Lash, do you want to push him? Push him out the door.
Viv is obsessed with pushing someone off the catwalk.
Yeah, sure.
That's what catwalks are made for.
Sure, I'll push him. And Lash goes over and hip checks the man outside, try to get him outside the door.
Roll strength for me real quick. And any relevant skills that you might
brawn?
Have. Yeah, sorry, brawn.
Oh, brawn.
Okay, because brawn is more for me. Okay. Four hits.
Versus my one hit.
Oh.
Ooh.
Get ready for this. Hit. My hips don't lie. While this man is bent over to grab the doorknob, she kind of puts both hands up and, like, it's a dance move. Hip checks his hip as if they were, like,
on the dance floor. Yeah.
As if they were on the dance floor buddies.
Playing, but with violence. Sure.
Yeah.
You hit him and he loses his balance and he stumbles towards Jast, towards the interior of Jast. So towards the edge of the catwalk, and you do not hit him hard enough to push him over the edge. Or I should say, you would not have hit him hard enough to push him over the edge if the catwalk wasn't in such a state of disrepair. When he hits the railing that you pushed him towards, it basically just disintegrates. It falls completely apart when he loses his balance into it. And you just see this man with a doorknob in his hand, slow motion fall off of the catwalk into a pile of scrap metal below.
Oh, shit! Viv! I don't know my own strength! That wasn't supposed to knock him off! I'm sorry!
It's fine. Let's get to the door. And I guess someone else is just going to have to fill out his paperwork.
You hear DeVoe from afar go, Jared! Jared, no!
Okay, let's try this door.
It opens.
And there's stairs?
You open the door.
Closet. A shallow cabinet.
Shit. All that for a closet.
You see a perfect replica of Jared. No. You open the door at the other end of the closet and you're outside again. There is a spiral staircase leading down. There's a small open area that is directly before the large metal enclosure, the large metal like shed, hut, barn, whatever you want to call it. It's like 30, 40 feet tall, that the furnace, the smelter is inside. So you are heading directly in the right direction. The place that you need to go is basically forward a little bit and to the left. And I will describe in more detail what it is that you see if you go down the spiral staircase once we hear what TK is up to.
Yeah, I think TK sees this guy fall and is like, What the fuck did they do? I think he just waits to see what happens, because it sounds like DeVoe noticed. It's like, is DeVoe going to run over there?
DeVoe is currently being restrained by the other guard as DeVoe is like shouting and screaming. And unless Taylor has any counter arguments, I think they both go into the guardhouse and rush downstairs
to get to Jared. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, then great.
Because from their perspective, the old guy that works here just fell off the fucking catwalk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Then TK is going to hop down onto the catwalk and just stroll his way down the way Lash and Viv went, being very careful around the section where the railing is missing.
Great. Yeah. DeVoe shouts and wrestles out of his captor's arms. They both look shocked at one another and rush into the guardhouse. And you hear their steps sort of reverberate through this big hollow building. And then they appear on the lower level in front of the big pile of metal that Jared has fallen down onto. You cross. You're still semi-translucent. You're hard to see. And you go into the office. It smells bad. You see all the same things that Lash and Viv did, and you see them on the other side at the bottom of this spiral staircase. What you see in front of you, so directly to your left, there is just the wall of Jast, so the exterior wall. But then if you go forward a little bit, there's the side of this massive structure in which all of this metal grinding and melting equipment is. So looking straight ahead from where you are, it looks like basically people have worked really hard to just start piling metal into the opening of this large structure. And right on the edge of that opening, you can see a robotic arm that is repeatedly grabbing large chunks, large collections of scrap metal. And it's like, it's a big arm. It's like the size of a crane, but it is anchored into the concrete ground of Jast. And it's repeatedly just grabbing huge bundles of scrap metal and dropping it into a hopper that's like 25, 30 feet off the ground. When it does that, you hear grinding and crunching, and you smell metal like sort of in the air. You see all this dust. There's a bunch of sparking that happens. And every few minutes, the hopper opens, and gradually ground metal just falls out from under it, from the bottom of it, onto a conveyor belt. And you're not currently positioned in a place where you can see where the conveyor belt goes, but the interior of the building, which is forward and to your left a little bit, is glowing. It's glowing really bright, bright red. You hear behind you people shouting about Jared, asking if he's okay. Jared is not answering.
Uh-huh.
You have about 7 minutes until the guard change.
Damn, Hina.
Hello, Mike here to tell you about a cool, fun thing you can do, and that is support your favorite local, independent cyberpunk podcast. Or really, just support your favorite local, independent, whatever media. Is the world burning? Yes. Is it also somehow simultaneously drowning? Yes. Do the terrors persist? Yes. But do also the small acts of generosity which buoy the spirit and help us show appreciation to other fellow passengers on this here spaceship Earth. Yes. The creator economy, if that's what you want to call this, the media landscape is, it's a weird place. Not the friendliest. Certainly extremely crowded. Not an arena where one guarantees returns on their investments. No, a place for people who do what they do because they love doing it and because they love the people who they do it for. Not to get all parasocial relationship, not to sound like a LinkedIn post for a social media manager job at a faceless megacorporation, but why else would anyone do this kind of thing if not for the gathering of a community around it? And I don't just mean Fun City. I mean everything like Fun City. Embracing uncertainty, making something weird that doesn't have large market value, making something that could not be made anywhere else, and certainly not with the backing of a large media company. Let me tell you, I work for a lot of them, and I know exactly what kind of things they fund, and it's not this kind of thing. And so if you have the means and you enjoy the stuff that we make, you enjoy the stuff that any of the people who make any of the independent, weird, small pieces of media that you enjoy make, head to our Patreon, patreon.com/FunCityVentures, or their Patreons, insert infinite Patreon Earls here, fork over a couple bucks a month, and help to keep it going. Is the amount of media made available to you per dollar slightly less, let's say, than a Netflix subscription? Yes. However, one might argue that a Netflix subscription indicates a wholesale devaluing of the availability of art, as opposed to individual Patreon subscriptions representing an overvaluing of the available art. But that is another much longer ad break for another episode. Thank you for listening. Patreon.com/FunCityVentures. Help us to continue to be weird. Okay, bye.
TK calms Lux from the stairwell. He says, I didn't stop Lash and Viv, and
I figured.
Yeah, and now a man is dead, I think.
Oh,
it's he fell 30 feet. He was old into some scrap metal. He's not saying anything.
Okay.
I didn't check. Could be fine, maybe. But my guess is there's going to be some help on the way in a bit. If you just hang tight, you might be able to sneak right in.
Okay.
What's Lux doing in the meantime?
Lux has been trying to do various hand flourishes and things that he's seen Loma do, you know, trying to figure out ways to communicate non-verbally as Loma as much as possible, because he really wants to be able to sell the Loma performance as well as verbally. But
Jen, that was a great question. Give yourself an itch.
Oh, thank you.
Viv, you have to understand, I did not mean to hip check that hard. I did not know that was going to happen.
You really, really don't know your own strength.
TK, there's TK!
So did you kill him on purpose or
no,
what?
No, TK, don't just say that.
We were just trying to get him out of the room.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's definitely dead. You know that, right?
No, don't say that.
Did you smell that earlier? Oh, that man.
These guys have not left. Whatever is
so
happening
you
in here.
Him? That's so fucked up.
No, I didn't kill him.
You killed him because he smelled bad? That's what I'm hearing.
It was a mistake. I just did a playful hip check. Because
Viv. You hip checked him in?
Viv influenced me. You can't leave me alone with Viv. She has me kill people.
I feel like I tried to say don't do whatever it is you're going to do.
No, I don't.
We better get to this shift change or Lux is going to be really pissed at me specifically.
He already knows. He's not even mad. He was just like, huh, yeah, I guess that's what happened.
You hear from slightly behind you, all the people, there's more people are arriving to survey what has happened to Jared. And you hear DeVoe being like, we got to call Doc Wagon, right? I mean, maybe he's still alive.
We don't fucking call Doc Wagon, you idiot. We radio it in and someone else calls Doc Wagon.
Okay, so let's fucking do that. Because
I'm doing it right now. Fuck. Ugh.
Yeah, and you see the orc sort of like fiddle with his comms a little bit, and he's, you know, texting. he's texting someone else in the compound that fucking Jared has goddamn fallen off the fucking catwalk with an hour to go after this enormous shift that everyone's been stinking over, and holy shit. Almost made it across the finish line, and now we gotta call a goddamn medical drone in because the oldest guy on staff has slipped and broken his hip in a pile of fucking scrap balls. Everyone's very frustrated and worried about Jared because, as mean as he was in the room, he's actually well liked.
DeVoe is pacing and like grasping his skull and pinching his nose, and he's like, oh god, I hope it's not surge pricing. Jast is gonna be so mad.
It's not our fucking problem. Jared's the one that fell off the catwalk.
You know, he could have just broke his hip. And when you break your hip, you can't move or talk, I think.
Talk?
and Lash is trying to rationalize that she did not just kill someone as they move further towards
In cold blood.
Not cold. You cannot say anything I do is
in cold
blood. How cold
was your blood? Was your blood hot? You wanted to do it?
No, Viv said to do it.
So it's Viv's fault, even though you did it.
Yes, kind of, yes.
How's it feel to increase your body count?
Not good, Viv.
Do you remember when you shot that guy? That was sick.
Yeah, well, he deserved it.
So did this guy, probably. Look, the only way you're going to be able to sleep at night is if you think he deserved it. So you should just rationalize it however you need to, and let's keep moving.
Okay. Okay.
You walk forward. It's maybe only about 20, 30 paces until you can turn left into the structure where the smelter is. And you see now that it looks like there are guards who are manning basically like big jet skis, small boats that are gathering scrap in floating containers behind them, basically going out into Jast, filling up these small, almost like mine carts that are attached to the back of these vessels that they're driving, bringing it out and just dumping it in a pile in front of this arm that keeps grabbing things and putting it into the hopper. And it looks like they're just slowly feeding all of Jast into this thing, whatever it is. Do you guys want to go in? Do you want to like turn the corner? Do you want to stick your head in? Do you just want to like confidently walk around? What's your vibe at the moment?
Well, we're still camouflaged.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to saunter in.
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Love it.
Lux, comms CK. Okay. I think that I saw on the comms that they come to Dock Wagon. I might be able to slip in then. Do you guys have a clear shot to get into the smelter?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We are about to walk in because we are still camouflaged.
Lux, you should know that there's some kind of everything's gonna end in 1 hour is what everyone keeps saying. I just want you to have that context.
Everything's gonna end in an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I think I killed the guy.
Oh, God. Lash.
It smells so bad in here.
You killed him because it smells bad?
It'll make sense later. Good luck.
Okay, I'll take care of myself. Y'all get as close as you can.
You walk in, you turn left, and you see the interior of this building. You've seen the interior of this before. You've seen it from a distance in person when you were here the first time, when you fought Jast, when you got the Mrs. Egg, when it was still a party barge. And Lux has seen the interior of this structure in a vlog that Balto Cuddle recorded a number of months ago before he left Jast as their head of security and had his memory erased. If Lux shared that video with everyone else against Balto's wishes, then, you know, all of the rest of you have seen it too recently. And it looks the way that it does in that video. You see a long, thin, and what appears to be shallow pool of molten metal. It is bright red and orange, and it is swirling about as it is continuously added to. What you see happen is all of the shredded metal goes on a conveyor belt. The conveyor belt is maybe 10 feet off the ground, and it shuttles it closer and closer towards this molten pool and just kind of drops it into a pile, into a mound, where there's another one of these grabbing arms. This one, instead of a claw, it's got more of like a shovel on the end. And it sticks the shovel into the mound of ground-up metal, and it drops it into this thing that just looks like an enclosure, like a big bowl with thick walls, and then a top closes on over it. It's like egg-shaped, shuts over it. You hear like whirring and crunching and like chunking noises. And then a really loud hum, like a lot of electricity is being used, like a distant, massive generator turns on. You see sparks start to come out of this egg-shaped enclosure that all of this ground-up metal has just been put in. A couple seconds pass. You hear more chunking and whirring noises, and the top opens. And what was lots of dust and bits of metal is now just completely melted. Completely molten metal, bright red. This little egg enclosure now open, lifts up, tilts over, and pours. You see this happen if you stand there for like a minute or two. You see this happen a couple times, but you never see the level of the molten metal change. Mm. So I think you would have a sense that like this is draining somewhere. This is just continuously being added to, but the amount that you can see is no different. And it goes. This reservoir of molten metal is maybe 45, 50 feet long into the interior of this this sort of sheet metal structure that you're in. And at the very end of it, a brightly lit, very clean steel door. And on either side of it, two large guards that are wearing serious Kevlar armor. They are holding two tactical machine pistols each, and they are wearing full heads-up display helmets. You would recognize these as versions of what you see knight-errant wear. This is something that is continually monitoring the environment for movement, for heat signatures. It gathers biometric data. It runs instant background checks on anyone that it sees. It is like eyes within eyes within eyes. Hmm. And I think that you would have a good sense that if these are the two people on the outside, there's about to be a guard change. You're about to see four people on the other side of the door leave, probably wearing the same thing.
I think they can see us through those helmets. I think I don't think the Gustav's camouflage.
You think you can hack them?
Hack them? I mean, I have before, but it was hard.
The hero's journey, folks.
Refusal of the call.
We flash back to the riot.
Yeah.
And to the one sign of 30 that and just like a montage of the single items that Lash has hacked.
Yeah.
I did this once before, and it's not like I'm changed in any way since then.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can probably hack one of them. Yeah, I can do it right now.
Check if they're networked. I don't know.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, Lash has hacked one of these helmets before, so I wonder if she can use... I'm the captain now.
I obviously know what that is. Remind the listener what that is, yeah.
At the cost of the amount of edge equal to the complexity of the vehicle, I might not be able to do this. Lash can jump into that vehicle. It's not a vehicle. Well, some would say a helmet's a vehicle. A vehicle for your head. And control its
operation. Good try, but... I really respect the effort.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yes.
Well, we also probably should keep in mind that we do want to fight the guys, but when there are two of them instead of when there are six.
So yeah.
We do want to wait for the whole point of the change of the guard is to do anything to just the two and not start a fight before that there's just two.
Yeah. So we got to wait for those guards to change.
Yeah.
Still want to poke around.
Yeah, let's just... So I don't set off any alarm bells, let's just wait till those four guys at least clear the area a bit.
Lux.
Yes?
How are the hand flourishes going?
I think I got everything. Perfect.
How's the Loma voice turning out? Like, what's the current state?
What did I say before? The book has been compromised.
Pretty good. It's good. It's pretty good.
That's really what he's been saying. So he hopes he only has to say that, but.
Oh, Loma, what's your favorite soup again?
The book has been compromised.
What's that scene in Total Recall? What does she say when her head explodes?
6 days.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
The book has been compromised.
As Lux is looking into the rearview mirror of the vehicle temporarily known as Gone Fishing, practicing his hand flourishes and his one Loma line, he hears the whoop whoop, the very recognizable siren sound of a dock wagon speedboat as it approaches the front entryway of Jast Reclamation. And it floats. The sirens are going. The lights are spinning. And from where you are, even inside the extra thick cabin of this vehicle, you hear the creaking of metal that hasn't moved in months as one of the huge doors opens. Just enough to allow the speedboat to enter. Inside of Jast, the ground shakes when this happens, when the door opens. It's like, not only has it been a while, it's like it doesn't want to. It's like it forgot how to be a front gate, and it's struggling to remember. But you hear the front gate open, and you hear the sirens whoop again as Dock Wagon arrives to see what the deal with Jared is. At this exact moment, the shiny metal doors open, and four guards step out.
Hut, 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 hut.
You are looking at six highly armed, probably pretty well trained, very well outfit guards. And they, like, immediately begin to commiserate with each other. They are, like, shaking hands, and they're having, like, a little conversation. You can tell spirits are low. And for a brief second, while the door is open, before it closes, you can look in, and you just see what looks like a chasm going straight down.
Wow. Lux sees two things happen simultaneously. The gate begins to open as the clock ticks down on his watch, or on his comm. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lux comms TK. It's happening now. I got my opening. I'm going in. And Lux remembers, that he's not afraid of water anymore. In fact, after recent events, he actually loves water. And he exits the vehicle and swims underwater through the now open gate. Mike, what do I roll?
I mean, just roll athletics and, like, don't drown.
Athletics. What the fuck is athletics?
Roll for blowing bubbles.
Agility?
Twimsies.
Twimsies. I will give you whatever physical skill you have that's highest.
Okay. That is agility. I just got 3.
That's fine. You didn't glitch. Okay. And I think, like, you don't normally do this, which is why we would even have you roll. But
yeah,
this is not a difficult task. And I think that, like, Lux is maybe even a little proud of himself, that he feels like he can do this and that he has an opportunity in a very high stress situation to do it. So I think, you know, I know that Lux feels some anxiety about being not useful in potential combat situations. But I think that, like, Lux in this moment really feels like he's identified an opening and is using a skill and is, like, getting into nice. Jast on his own terms. And I think it feels nice.
Great. So Lux, he gets through. He pops his head up. He gets onto whichever way he could walk towards the thing. And he comms TK again and he says, okay, I'm in. I'm going to try to avoid everyone until we get to the door. We need to, as soon as the changeover happens, to take the two guards that remain out. And he tries to walk assuredly towards the place where he would think the silver door would be.
Yeah, I think Lux has a very good sense of where it is. You swim, you go through the gate, you pull yourself up on the poured concrete platform that allows you to walk past where the office was and towards where you know your teammates are. So you're sopping wet.
Yeah.
You are dripping water all over the place. You are in the form of a Georgian mage that, like, is here sometimes. So like, you know that he is a known quantity around Jast. And the way that everything's laid out is that you basically do this like, and you are not under Gustavo's spell. Is that right?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. You are completely visible. Yeah.
There's a lot of commotion. So
yes.
Oh, that our bookkeeper swimming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. That guy can do everything.
When you pull yourself up onto the platform, you see there is a group of maybe now half a dozen people who are gathered around a man who has been placed on a stretcher. When you lift yourself up out of the water and pull yourself onto the platform, all of their backs are towards you.
Oh, that's good.
No one is looking at you. They're all looking at this man because, as Taylor said, this was a very well-liked guy. Everyone is nervous and worried, and they all want to see if he's made it, like what happened to him, how hurt he is. And so you are able to basically walk in the background of this commotion in your gray suit and make your way over to where your teammates are without anybody noticing you.
Oh, wow, that's good.
I just rolled for the group, and they did not glitch, but they miraculously rolled zero successes.
Okay, I like that.
So, yeah, so you do well.
Awesome. Like, guys, where are you? I don't see you.
You all hear Lux immediately behind you say this.
Oh, hey.
Okay, I just heard Lash make a big sound.
Oh, you scared me.
Shh, Lash.
Sorry.
Some diaphanous mist in front of you sounds remarkably like your team.
I have an idea.
What's that?
Let's all line up behind Lux.
Yes.
Okay. So they only see one body.
Yes, I'm gonna approach them as Loma. Whenever there's just two, demand to go inside. And if it goes bad, I need y'all to immediately take them out.
Okay.
I am going to drop to the ground and roll away.
I've got your back.
Okay. I'm gonna work on one of their helmets then while you do this.
Perfect. Okay. And Lux peeks over just a little bit just to see the state of the few guys talking and whatever commotion, blah blah blah. See if they're the two big guys are alone again.
The six guards are all still talking to one another, yep. And you can overhear them sort of like discussing their day. And one of the two, I think, Lux, you might recognize that given sort of like the patterns on his armor and the way that he has his gun slung on his chest, that this is who Balto referred to as Sully.
Yeah.
And Sully is talking to one of the other guards that just came out from the inside, and he's like, hey, is it done? Did they finish? Like, how close are we?
You'd see that he's trying to stay stoic and guard-like about it, but his body language conveys, like, the relief and joy that this poor criminal guard is experiencing. It's fucking done. It's
fuck
all fucking
yes, dude,
done.
Fuck it. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah. The mages are already partying.
Oh, my God.
The mages are already fucking partying. It's fucking done.
Oh, no.
I can't believe I got my shift is another 3 hours.
Keep it tight. Keep it tight, brother.
I'm so... Are you going home?
We're almost there. I'm not going straight home, if you know what I mean.
Oh, buddy.
These guys suck.
They high five.
First, I'm going to church.
I'm going straight to church.
They high five, and it is the most pious high five that you have ever seen.
The last two Catholics in New York City.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you so many questions, but
nah, no questions to ask.
I'll see it when it comes up, when it comes through. I heard that the shipment is going to be extra guarded. It's coming through here, right?
Yeah.
How big is it?
Not as big as you'd think for all this trouble.
I mean, can you look like right at it?
I did.
That's fucked up, dude. Yeah.
It was worth it.
All right.
keep it tough. Keep it tough. I'm excited.
Did you just tell me to keep it tough?
I was telling myself to keep it tough. All right.
Everyone's laughing. The tension's broken. Everyone's laughing. Hey, Jeremy, keep it tough, okay?
Hey, you know, you keep it tough. Hey, guys, we all gotta
fuck
keep
you
it
guys.
Tough.
Ugh. Can't believe I've had to get
all right, we'll keep
this.
It tough, brother. Good luck in there.
Oh, keep it tough, Jesus.
I got the giggles like when we were young and you used to go to sleep over at somebody else's house and you stayed up too late and everything's funny. Keep it tough.
Someone was like, let me get a glass of soga, and then it's just everything anybody, that's all anybody says for the next 6 hours.
I love soga. To drink soga. Keep it tough. All right, keep it tough, you guys. Everybody keep tough.
The four guards that joined the two guys who were stationed on the outside start walking towards you. They are about to leave. And the two guards that remain, one of them, the one who said keep it tough, is like basically trying to stand extra broad and square and and like upright, and he's making sure all of his kit is arranged correctly and his gun is in the right place.
And that's exactly, keep it tough is exactly whose helmet I'm targeting.
Yeah, the four other guys, as they're coming towards you, they start taking off their gear. They like remove their helmets. They're slinging their guns on their back. They're like undoing their belts, which you can tell they're like these huge, they're almost like weightlifting belts where they like keep you in and together and like tight. And like when they undo it, it's like they all sort of like expand a little bit. One of them looks directly at you, Lux, as Loma, and like doesn't stop, but like looks at you extra long, sort of like clocks you, and then just goes, hey.
Hello.
Then just keeps going.
And Loma passes them, walking naturally. And he seems to think they have seen him around before. And there's no reason to raise alarm yet. So he walks up to the two guards. And he says,
I have sensed that it is done. I must see him.
While this is happening, Lash has cast Puppeteer on Keep It Tough's helmet. And she got 7 hits.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's a lot of hits, Shan.
I know. I don't know how it happened.
Those sixes.
Barry yeah, Gordy helped. Over here with hit after hit. That one's for the real heads out there.
Shannon Odell.
Yeah.
That is a critical success.
Sweet. First time with Puppeteer that's ever happened.
He got 3 hits, so you got 4 net hits.
Wow.
Nice.
So I can do something really complex in this helmet.
Oh, so complex.
I'm going to say, yeah, like, you kind of can do whatever you want with his helmet,
yes.
Which I will remind you is his whole field of vision.
Right. Okay. I'm in the helmet, but I'm waiting to see what Keep It Tough does.
A moment passes. Keep It Tough goes, so?
Keep It Tough suddenly in his helmet. When he sees Lux, he sees Jast. Like, Lux is Jast.
That actually wouldn't be too difficult because we already established it's a heads-up graphical display. The yeah. machine must have a three-dimensional generative memory of
yeah.
Jast in there. All you got to do is take that from the memory, put it on the HUD, you're done. It's like a goddamn Apple fucking reality TV.
Drag and drop. You drag and drop.
Baby.
Yeah.
So on-demand real-time deepfake.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And then Jast takes his shirt off.
No. Yeah. then the bad dragon comes out.
Keep It Tough, Sully, is fixing all of his stuff. And he's sort of like, he's thinking about how everybody was ribbing him and giving him a hard time. And he's like making sure everything's good. He's looking down at his armor. And he's like, you know, looking at his partner. And he like senses that someone's coming towards him. And he hears, as he's looking down and he's straightening all of his stuff out, He hears this voice that he, like, kind of distantly remembers. It's not a voice that he doesn't know, but it's not, like, a voice that he knows really, really well. And the voice says, "I've sensed that it's done. I must see him." And he says, "So?" As he looks up, and he sees his boss, and he goes, "Oh, Mr. Columnar, I'm very sorry. Who do you need to see?"
And Lux realizes what must be happening. He sees me as Jast, and he says,
"Open the door."
Roll performance.
Okay. A lot of these rolls are...
Go, Lux!
You gotta give this man a bonus for the HUD stuff, for the HUD thing.
Go.
Have I ever met Tully before? Because that gives me a bonus if I haven't.
I'm going to say no, you haven't.
We've all met guys like Sully in our lives, though, haven't we? Am I right, ladies?
How do I know when I've met my Sully?
Yeah.
Really a lot of dice.
We've all met Sullies, but how do you know when you meet your Sully?
The five Sullies you meet in heaven.
That's seven.
Wow.
Nicholas Garcino.
Mm-hmm.
That's a critical success.
Wow. Hell yes.
The dice are in our favor.
It only took 4 years of playing.
Only tonight.
He got one success, so.
Great.
We've done our minning. Now we max.
Open the door.
Oh my God. Yeah. Of course. We just finished. You want to go see what it looks like. You want to make sure that everything is taken care of. I understand. Yeah.
He looks at his partner, who's on the other side of the door, and he says, get your key ready. And his partner looks at him, and his partner sees Loma. Taylor, does this raise any confusion or consternation on the part of the other guard? I'm going to say that it's probably subtle what's going on.
It is.
Yeah.
It would be subtle. He said Mr. Columnar out loud.
He could have heard Columnar speaking in his head, though, as a mage, telling him to let his friend in. And so he's, like, saying that out loud. If Jas has the ability to do that.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true. I'm going to roll brain on this guy. And I think the dumber he is, the more he's going to assume it's probably fine.
Or that he just didn't notice.
Sure. But just like,
still
you know,
laughing about
keep it tough.
It's like,
he's just so fucking excited to go home.
It's the exactly. It's the end of a thing. Nobody wants to be the guy that's like, wait a minute, you forgot to give us homework.
They have senioritis. They're ready to go.
Yeah, these guys have senioritis bad. I'm gonna give this guy a negative one dice pool penalty for that. No hits.
Yay!
Wow.
Whatever's going on, it's probably fine. It is brain. All you hear is do 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 do
do do keeping it tough. When Sully says, "Y'all get your key ready," and you turn and you look at this guy, he's there just sort of gently bopping up and down.
Yeah, sure.
Sully takes out a key card from the folds of his armor and places it slightly next to a key card reader. And his friend on the other side, about 12 feet away, does the same. And like they've done it 1,000 times, there's a sort of, you know, internal beat that they keep. And they both pass the card in the same pattern over the reader. They sort of make what appears like a vague star shape. And the doors open.
And Lux, a.k.a. Aloma, a.k.a. in one person's eyes, Jas, walks inside, hoping that his team follows very, very closely behind.
We do.
Great. Yeah.
We do.
Viv is shadowing him behind.
Oh, God, what are we doing?
You all walk in.
Oh, God.
Right before the doors close, Sully peeks his head around, and he takes one step inside. He starts to go,
"Oh, and sir, just congratulations."
Loma says nothing. He just looks at him and then turns around and continues walking.
He backs out of the entryway and the door closes. I think that was the right move.
Yeah.
Jess wouldn't say anything.
You are standing on a platform that's about 10 feet by 5 feet. There's a railing in front of you. And it's all made of very clean, shining metal. There's two flights of stairs on either side of you that go down to the level below you. You are in basically the interior of a massive cylinder. And you can see probably like maybe 8-10 of these little platforms that you're on, with these angled sets of stairs on either side of them, at various locations around the edge, the interior surface of the cylinder that you're in. So you can tell that there are maybe like 5-6 different rooms in here that you can get to from this little network of stairs that are up against the wall, hanging right from the wall.
The big hole down to the abyss, where is that?
Right in front of you.
Okay.
And it's big. You're looking across something that is maybe 75 or 80 feet across. And when you look down, you see two things of note. The first thing, the closest thing, is a channel, a river of molten metal that snakes in a zigzag back and forth, slowly down, all the way down to the bottom of this cylinder, which is maybe 200 feet down. You can watch it. You can watch the molten metal just disappear down into this, like you said, abyss. But the abyss is not black. The abyss is not dark. When you try to look down, all the way down into the center, you just see blinding octarine light. You are looking directly into whatever the magical presence that Viv sensed was. It's down there. And even for all of you, if you are, you know, varying levels of mundanity, there is bright, bright light coming from down there. And Viv, you even have a hard time seeing. It's like when it's a very, very sunny day and the sun is low. It's just hard for you to see. You know, your eyes can't constrict enough to restrict the amount of light that you're getting in.
Her eyes are glittering and she lets out like a powerful.
I'm going to say, insofar as Viv is turned on by the presence of magic, this is perhaps the sexiest thing that has ever happened to her.
She has to lean on the Lash for support.
It's hot in here. It's warm, mostly from the molten metal, which is coming through some unseen channel into this cylinder that you're in. You also hear this really beautiful multiphonic hum that verges on Gregorian, but has elements of like machinery in it. Like there's some harsh undertone to it, but it is at base very harmonic and like musical, and it is just filling this cylinder, and the source is absolutely somewhere down there. You also see, in various locations, groups of guards partying, celebrating, like high-fiving. You swear to God, you hear cans cracking open. And like in the distance, bottle popping. And you hear people cheering, and you hear excited conversation, and you can see some of these small groups of people gathering in front of the entryways to these rooms that lead off of the cylinder. Across the cylinder, on one of the platforms, slightly down, one of the guards is unfurling paper letters that in gold spell out the word congrats.
Lux proceeds down a set of stairs, knowing that they have to check these rooms for the book, for records, for something. And he's going to have to check them somehow, and he doesn't have a lot of time, it sounds like. So he proceeds down to the first room. Is there any room that off of any of these stairs that would look more like a place where records would be stored, Mike? Is there any inclination that he could perceive from any of this? That
does it help that Viv can sense, or is it too blindingly like bright in there that she can't?
Yeah, it's it's like pointing binoculars at the sun.
Right, that would be good.
Nick, to answer your question, Lux looks around and sees that if he cranes his head in the set of stairs to your right, there is, if you take those down, there's another platform that's down one flight, and there's a door inset, and that door is covered in, I don't know what you call it. It's the style of leather decoration that you often see in, like, steakhouses, where the leather has been dimpled with buttons.
Quilted. Or stuffed leather, yeah.
Stuffed, yeah. So you see, so Lux sees a black stuffed leather double door.
Ah, okay. That looks promising. Lux moves far enough down the stairs so he's out of earshot of the guards, and he whispers to the team, okay, I'm gonna check this room.
We're all right behind you.
Yes. So far I've heard that there are mages and there are dogs. Plural.
Lash, your calm that you never use vibrates.
She looks at it.
You have a single calm message. Dock wagon. Patient. Gabriel Ozaman. Status. Discharged.
Guys, Gabe's out. See? Dock wagon's good. Jared's gonna be fine.
Are now leaving Fun City. Thanks for listening. If you want to support the show and get access to a huge back catalog of amazing bonus content, patron only in universe merch, and access to our Discord, you can head on over to patreon.com/funcityventures. And of course, thanks to all of our current patrons for help keeping this ship afloat.
Hi, I'm Bijan Steven, and you can find me online at Bijan Steven, B-I-J-A-N-S-T-E-P-H-E-N, on Twitter and Twitch. On Instagram, I'm Bijan Cakes, B-I-J-A-N Cakes.
I'm Jen De La Vega, I play Vivian Lakewood, and you can find me online at Randwitches.
Hey, this is Nick Gersio, I play Lux Scythe, and you can find me online at N-Gersio, G-U-E-R-C-I-O, on Instagram, and at Nicholas Gersio on Twitter.
I'm Shannon O'Dell, I play Lash Goodbog, and you can find me on social media at Shodell, at S-H-O-D-E-L-L.
I am Taylor Moore, and I play all the bad guys, I think. Is that how it works? It's not clear. You can follow me online at taylor.biz.
And my name is Mike Rugnetta. I am your GM. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube at Mike Rugnetta. You can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at Fun City Ventures. This episode of Fun City was recorded in Brooklyn, New York, and Los Angeles, California. It was edited by Sam Grant and produced and sound designed by me, Mike Rugnetta. Pixel Riffs, definitely. Keeps it tough. Fun City's music is by Sam Tindall, with tracks by Will Savino and Borrowbound. Our art is by Tess Stone. Our Discord mods are Olivia Goulin, Kelly McHugh, and Kit Pulliam. And the voice of Artemis is Molly Templeton.